Welcome to The Leadership Line, a podcast that covers everyday work issues from dealing with jerks at work to feeling burnt out. Tammy and Scott's experience, along with their different perspectives, help listeners grow, examine realistic options and alternatives, and identify those actionable solutions to the tough issues we face every day at work. How do you know a candidate is right for the job, position, and organization?
Okay, Scott, I just actually had a huge conversation with a client about this today, okay? And what was really interesting about it is that organization uses a tool called Predictive Index. And in Predictive Index, you can do what's called a job match, where you can actually go in and the team that knows a lot about this job can help say what kind of the team would say, what kind of person are we really looking for? All right. And we can use that so that we can actually find the right candidate for this position. In this situation, they have done that. They've done the job match. They know what it is that they're looking for. And they can then rate candidates as they take the assessment on a scale of 1 to 10. 10 is a perfect match. The candidate this organization wants to hire to this job match has a score of 1. There are 1 out of 10. So they actually were like, Tammy, we really want to hire this person. What do you think? Now, Scott, what do you think my answer to that was?
Well, it probably you said it depends.
No, that would be your answer. That is not my answer. Okay. So really, from your perspective, do you hire someone that you think the job is this and they actually don't look like a good fit for the organization or for the job itself?
Hell no, you don't.
I thought that was kind of like clear.
I mean, you know, I guess it depends on what objective you have. If your objective is to say, hey, we don't quite have enough turnover. Let's boost our turnover. Then, yeah, it completely makes sense that you should.
No. I think the objective is more like I really like training people and then terminating them and training people. And okay. Then I like the process of training and having people churn through the organization. I mean, hiring someone when they literally are not a great match for the organization is just pain and heartache.
Yeah.
Okay. Not even counting how expensive it is.
I think this research is a little low on the low end, but right now the kind of the conversation is it's $11,000.
Oh, that's so low.
An employee. Okay. And so let's just say it's fine. We can debate whatever it's higher is lower. Let's just say it's 10 grand because that makes math a lot easier.
Yes, that's those of us who are challenged.
But you think, okay, we hired, you know, 5 candidates, and if 3 of the 5 are no good, or we're trying to justify it in to make it easier, convenient, or yay, we're getting applicants, and I just need to fill these jobs. I mean, you're spending 10 grand.
Well, not only are you spending 10 grand, but here's the piece that really drives me crazy. Okay. Long-term research says that after you hire somebody, we are dissatisfied with our hires 6 out of 7 times. Now, that sounds terrible, but notice I said dissatisfied. What's worse than that is we hired these people believing that they were going to do a great job, and we got someone that is doing an okay job. And the problem with okay is it's not bad enough to fire him. So now I'm stuck with just people who are doing the job okay, C players instead of A and B players. So this hiring piece, you know, that Isabel asked us about is one of the most critical things. Yes, it's $10,000, but long-term it's about when you look around on your team, do you see people that are literally people would try to come in and recruit them because anybody would want them. I mean, they are rock stars. Or do you just see average folks or worse than that, someone who's below average, a D or an F player that the organization has had and is keeping? And I think a big part of it is because hiring so hard, especially right now, it's like, well, they have the right education, they have the right experience, they come from the right college. Let's just say yes, and not worry about the things that make them really going to work in that job and work in our organization. I think we're scared, we're desperate for help. And so they meet the minimum requirements around experience and education, licensings, those types of things. And we just say yes. And we're not concerned about whether or not they as an individual are going to be able to be really successful in that job and be an A player.
And in the end, I think, so even set aside the assessment match or how you've interviewed or these other pieces, it still comes down to why do you want that person? So let's say that they're the profile isn't even why that person versus another candidate.
Yeah,
are you being picky or are you just trying to fill?
In some cases, I mean, folks aren't using predictive index, right?
Yeah.
So those who don't have it, we don't have that data. We haven't done a job match. Some of us haven't even sat down and said, what is it that we're really looking for other than so-and-so's left the job, so we want to fill the job and we want someone. And we look at experience and education usually. Except for experience and education only gives you about 10% of the whole story. If you really look, most of the time people don't work out in an organization. It's not because they don't have the experience or the education. It's because they're a pain in the tuchus to work with.
Yeah. And I think to Isabel's question, right, how do we pick the right? Well, it's the head, heart, mind, right? And the head, heart, mind, and briefcase.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so when you think about briefcase is KSAs, knowledge, skills, abilities. What's the education? What have you done before? What training do you have? Et cetera.
About 10% of the story.
Yeah, that's about 10% of the story. Heart, are you aligned to the mission, the vision, values? You know, are you a team player? And I think that's that piece of, are you, there's that humble, hungry, smart kind of piece in there. Mm-hmm. And then there's the head, which is really the behavioral and cognitive. What is their learning style? What's their learning speed? What's their ability to retain it, new information? And behaviorally, is it aligned to what you need for that role? And again, that could be the role today, or it could be, oh, we want that role to evolve to this in the next few months, and I want to be really purposeful. And I think what happens is, yes, we know we need to hire, and we say, well, here's the job description, and we say, go post that, versus stepping back and saying, no, what are those knowledge, skills, and abilities, the briefcase, the heart? What are the key things that align that person to the mission and what we're trying to accomplish as a team or an organization? And then what do we want behaviorally so that when those things fit, that is about an 85% predictor of alignment and success.
And what's interesting in that, Scott, is one, so much of that work is pre-work. And what I mean by that is before you even like start saying, who are we going to interview? Because we have resumes, right? It's all this work that needs to be done up front. And when I say all this work, people think, well, gosh, I don't have time for that. Well, to be honest with you, this is maybe an hour-long conversation with key stakeholders around that particular
position.
Probably the
most important hour of thinking and work you can do as a leader.
Because if you don't do it right, you're going to have to repeat it. Okay. So in this particular space, being proactive and spending that hour to figure that out, let's get it done. Okay. Then the second piece is once I actually have thought that through and I have a good picture put in place, now I need to know how to interview. And to be honest with you, what percentage of the population do you think in a leadership spot knows how to interview candidates? Because Scott, I've seen like I've seen very little evidence that we have trained people how to interview in anything other than legality, what you can say and what you can't say. And there is a skill set to interviewing. And in this spot, really understanding, how do you ask good questions? What are you listening for? And how do you follow up? And that's something, actually, we should talk about in another podcast sometime. Really? The skill set. What does it take? What makes a really great interviewer different from an ordinary interviewer?
And that wraps up this week's episode of The Leadership Line. As always, feel free to reach out to us in the emails provided in this podcast description box, and be sure to check out our upcoming episodes always announced on LinkedIn. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.